Now, can watching TV help us cope with stress? A survey by Healthy Women magazine reveals it's one of the top three ways people are trying to handle stressful times. During this last year with the pandemic, TV streaming has increased by 12%. We're going to take a look now at the ways we've used TV over the last year, and we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Do you watch TV or maybe movies when you feel stressed? What types of shows help you relax? Do you rewatch old favorites? Do you avoid certain genres when you are stressed out or anxious? Or have you made an effort to cut back on your TV watching? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Jen Chaney is a TV critic for Vulture. She wrote the book, As If, The Oral History of Clueless, as told by Amy Heckerling and the cast and crew. Jen, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Well, I was poking around to see what psychologists had to say about TV watching and stress, and it seems like the consensus is some fine, like anything, moderation is good. How about you? How do you use TV when it comes to stress, given I know that it's part of your job, too?
Right. You know, moderation is really not in my vocabulary, again, partly because it's my job, but I also generally like watching TV anyway. You know, I think I have, during the pandemic, had moments where I have turned to old favorites, as you mentioned, watching shows I was familiar with. But like a lot of people, I also sometimes will turn to things like cooking shows or competition shows, things like that, that just kind of take your mind off of what's going on and are very kind of comforting by nature. But everybody's different. Some people, you know, are calmed down by watching true crime. You know, you just never know how someone's going to react to something.
I guess you steer into it sometimes. You'd also mentioned, I think, to our producer that some people had turned toward movies like Contagion, like a movie about an actual lethal virus.
Yeah, that tended to happen in the very early days of the pandemic when people were still trying to wrap their minds around what was going on. And I confess I was one of the weirdos who watched Contagion at like 2 o'clock in the morning, 2 weeks into the pandemic. But even that, you could kind of maintain some separation because, you know, it was an older film from 10 years ago or more, and it was a fictional pandemic, although there were certainly parallels. I think there has been since then a number of documentaries and even, you know, regular TV shows that have worked the pandemic into their subject matter. And I think that has been maybe harder for people to deal with, is watching things that are actually about what we're going through right now, because that feels less like escapism.
Let's dig into some of the genre of watching people do stuff. You mentioned cooking shows, and I know you wrote a review of the Netflix show Blown Away for stress relief viewing. I want to hear a little bit from the trailer of the show.
We've built North America's biggest hot shop, where 10 exceptional artists push themselves to creative extremes. If they can survive our fiery competition...
Careful!
I know I won't get a second chance. It's nail it or die.
They'll win a life-changing prize package that will establish them around the globe as best in glass.
Sound of glass breaking there. It's a show about glass blowing. Jen, tell us why you like this and why it's a good, stressful time show to watch.
Well, I don't know about you, but I knew nothing about glass blowing, certainly not from any kind of understanding of the mechanics of how it works. And watching the people make these pieces of art, I found it very fascinating and soothing, just the way that they heat the glass and pull it like taffy and just the ways that they shape it. It can get a little tense when, like you heard in that trailer, they break something. But like on a scale of 1 to 10, that's like an intensity of maybe 3, which I can deal with. And like on any show like that, you get attached to the people who are competing and you start rooting for certain people. But it's just, I always find it interesting to watch people engage in a creative process under a tight deadline, you know, because I don't get enough of that in my own job.
And there is something, I don't know, about watching, you know, when you have a show like this, they're often very competent people and they come in, you know, they're not like I would be just figuring out how to do it. They're experienced at glass blowing in this case, or I know there's been tattoo shows or, of course, the cooking shows. I don't, watching competent people have a go at these things, there is something strangely fun and comforting about that. And I don't know, I can't put my finger on what it is.
Yeah, no, I think there is something comforting about people who really know what they're doing, just taking control of a situation and making something. But I also think there's escapism when not competent people do the same thing. Like, I love the show Nailed It, which is people who are terrible at baking things that don't turn out well. And that's also kind of funny, and people laughing at themselves and just sort of enjoying learning on their own terms. And that's kind of soothing to watch as well.
Talking to Jen Chaney, TV critic for Vulture, about watching TV for stress relief, whatever that show might be. You could join in if you've got something you turn to watch or have turned to in this last year to watch during stressful times. 800-642-1234. And has it changed this last year what you want to watch? Do some shows or movies seem too stressful? 800-642-1234 is the number. We got an email from Cassandra who says, watching familiar movies can be soothing because I know what to expect in scenes. The idea of rewatching, Jen, what do you think?
I mean, of course, you know, that's something that many of us do and were doing before the pandemic. You know, I'm sure you have things on your list, movies that you've seen 25 times and could watch a 26th time if I put it on for you right now. I know a lot of people were either discovering or rediscovering Moonstruck during the pandemic, which is one of my favorite movies and also a movie that I can watch it over and over again and I never get tired of it. And part of it is because it transports you somewhere. Like in that movie, I feel like I'm in the restaurants and in the places where they live. And I think there is something certainly comforting in just that repetition, that familiarity.
I want to check out another show now that I think a lot of people have been pointing to as a good-natured, comforty show. Apple TV's Ted Lasso with Jason Sudeikis as an American football coach who goes abroad to coach the other kind of football. Here is newly hired coach Ted at a press conference.
Heck, you could fill two internets with what I don't know about football. But I'll tell you what I do know. I know that AFC Richmond, like any team I've ever coached, is going to go out there and give you everything they got for all four quarters. What was that?
Two halves.
Oh, right. Sorry. Halves. Yeah. They're going to give you everything they got for two halves, win or lose.
Or tie.
Oh, right. Y'all do ties here. Sorry. That's going to take some getting used to for me, okay?
Can you talk about Ted Lasso as a good comfort TV?
Yeah. You're right that a lot of people have been watching the show. And in fact, I know of people who have watched it. They're on like their third or fourth viewing of the whole thing because they enjoyed it so much. And I think that show is just incredibly positive, and Ted Lasso is an incredibly positive character. And I think it's rare to have a show that's that upbeat and optimistic that doesn't fall to like becoming corny or feeling, you know, inauthentic. I think Jason Sudeikis' performance in that show, like if he wasn't quite right for the character, the whole thing would kind of fall apart, and he's perfect. Like he just, like even you could hear in that clip, like he's obviously not equipped to do the job that he's doing, but he's okay with that. And he's like, I'm going to figure this out. And he doesn't seem like a nitwit exactly. Like, you know, the guy's smart and that he's got a great deal of heart, and you just root for him from the very first episode.
Well, I'm going to throw a flag or pull out the yellow card, depending on which version of football you want. It's on Apple TV. That's one of the streaming services I don't have. And I'm kind of like, okay, I'm at the limit of my streaming budget. Is it worth branching out into Apple TV just to be able to see that show?
Well, here's the thing. If I'm not mistaken, you can do like a trial where you get Apple TV for like a month, I think, for free. And then you decide if you want to keep it. And that's plenty of time to watch Ted Lasso. But there's also good stuff on there in addition to that. So, you know, it might be worth at least doing a trial.
Intriguing. Let's bring out a caller now at 800-642-1234. Liz is with us in La Crosse. Liz, hi.
Hi.
What did you want to suggest, Liz?
It was on PBS. It is All Creatures Great and Small, the new version that came out. I work in healthcare, and as you can imagine, this last year has been incredibly stressful. And I found that series was just like the perfect prescription for just a wonderful escape. Everything was beautiful there. The trials and tribulations they had there were just even wonderful. I mean, just everything just seemed like the perfect place. I wanted to go live there every Sunday.
And that's like a rural veterinarian in England. Like, I remember seeing some of the old version. It really was a nice, good-natured kind of show. Same is true for the new one, it sounds like, Liz.
Yeah, it's a little different. The character development's a little different on there. I watched both the old and the new, and I love the new version just as well, if not maybe a little bit more. I think the thing I like about the new version is obviously the film. So the colors, I mean, the green fields and the valleys and the sheep in the fields. And it just, like I said, you almost want to just to go there and sit in the field of the grass all around you and just enjoy the view. And it was just very beautiful.
I love it, Liz. Thank you so much. And I'm glad that's helping you get through a tough year, and obviously a very tough year in healthcare. Jen, I love that part of what she appreciates is just the scenery of it. I don't know, does that trigger anything else? Something where you watch it, you want to go to there?
Well, first of all, I want to say thank you to Liz for everything she's doing as a healthcare worker. And All Creatures Great and Small is a show that my colleague, Catherine Van Arendonk, had also recommended for the exact same reasons. You know, I'm like that with any show that has water or a beach involved in it. I was rewatching some of Lost in the past few months, which obviously they're trapped on
my
an island and there's
that
a lot
too,
of peril and danger. But nevertheless, the setting is so beautiful that it is a little bit relaxing in that way. But yeah, that can make a huge, huge difference. Just the feeling of escape is aided by the fact that you're able to go somewhere completely different from where you are at the moment.
Thanks a lot for that call, Liz. We're talking to Jen Chaney, TV critic for Vulture. We're talking about ways to watch TV in order to de-stress. I should point people, Jen Chaney wrote a fantastic piece, speaking of Lost, on the final episode, controversial. Really worth reading if you watch the show. But for our current topic, you could join in at 800-642-1234. Do you use TV to help you unwind? Are there types of shows you seek out to calm things down? Are there shows you avoid because they're too stressful? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Verrett. We're picking up our talk with TV critic Jen Chaney, looking at TV and stress relief. Want to know if you have a go-to TV show or kind of show to watch, or maybe a favorite movie to rewatch when you're feeling a little anxious or stressed out? Or is there something you just don't feel like watching in those times? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Let's go back to your calls now. Jessica is with us in Milwaukee. Jessica, hi.
Hi. You know, I've been using this time to finally get through the shows that like have been sitting in my queue, like what do I want to watch, and like, you know, the shows that like have been sitting there waiting for me a while to get to. And I just like blew through The Handmaid's Tale, and it was just, I was, you know, sucked in. I read the book, and I really like how they expanded on the source material, and I'm really excited to see where it goes. And I finished it, and I was like, oh man, now what am I gonna do? And then I found out a couple days ago, oh my gosh, the next season is coming by the end of April. And I was like, oh, just in time.
That's perfect timing. But Jessica, Handmaid's Tale is kind of a dark thing. I haven't watched it. I've read the book. My wife watched the series. I got a little stressed out just peeking in at what was going on there. You didn't find that a little, I don't know, depressing?
I mean, I don't know. I've always kind of had a dark sense of humor anyway, so it's not a funny show, but it didn't scare it. Like the darkness of it didn't scare me off, because darkness doesn't really faze me anyway.
I love it. Jessica, thank you. I'm glad it timed out so the next season comes out just when you're ready for it. Jen, what do you think? Something a little heavier for a stressful time.
Yeah, in fact, some of my coworkers specifically have a hard time watching Handmaid's Tale because it stresses them out too much. I actually enjoy that show. And in fact, I talked to Bruce Miller, who's the showrunner, who told me that in this next season that she was just referring to, that I should definitely have some wine with me. And I thought, well, what? I didn't need it before? Like, how much wine do I need now? So I don't think it's going to get any less intense.
Thanks a lot for that call. You know, one thing I don't seem to have an appetite for, Jen, is like cringe comedy, like the British version of The Office, the earliest days of The American Office, Larry David Show, that kind of thing, where it just like lingers on that social awkwardness. that is something in this last year that I just, I don't know, it turns me away where it didn't necessarily used to. Do you have anything that's sort of, I don't know, pandemic kryptonite that you just don't have the mental space for it?
I have found, and this is a broad statement, but things that go on for just too long, or if I don't have as much patience to wait things out. And this applies broadly. Like, I've had a hard time just even sitting down and reading books because I just find myself getting more antsy. And so if a TV show or a movie isn't holding my attention, I think my patience for it is not as robust as it once was.
Oh, you're not alone.
So trying to get through the four-hour Snyder Cut, for example, was a struggle.
We had a whole nother conversation about you are not alone in having that difficulty sitting and focusing on books. We heard from a lot of listeners in the same boat. Let's go back to our callers now at 800-642-1234. Jill is with us in Dowsman. Jill, hi.
Hi. So I came down with COVID on March 2nd, and the first week was pretty miserable, but the second week I was able to sit up and watch some TV, and I found a really adorable movie. It's called Then Came You, with Craig Ferguson and Kathy Lee Gifford. They're both widows, and he has a castle in Scotland and runs it as a bread and breakfast, and she comes and stays there. And so the setting is beautiful. It's on a lock. But a lot of the movie is spent with them driving around through the Highlands. And when I heard, what prompted me to call was the lady saying that watching, I came in at the end of her call, but because of the beauty of it, I ended up watching it four times. There's a lot of Craig Ferguson's humor. I think they let him ad lib, and it's just really a delightful movie. But the scenery was just spectacular. And at one point, I had my daughter watched, I think, number three with me, the third time I watched it. And, of course, you know, being a 20-something, she Googled it, and it is a private home in Scotland, but they hold wedding receptions there. So online, there's pictures. So it's everybody must like this place. It was just beautiful.
Jill, thank you so much. I'm glad you're feeling better. And there's that pretty scenery again. In this case, not just worried about COVID, recovering from COVID, Jill was. Jen, I don't know. I have watched some just pure scenery videos sometimes I found that very relaxing. I don't know. Are there other shows or movies you could point to someone like Jill toward where she's going to see just pretty scenery?
That's a good question.
Nothing leaps to mind for me either, but I don't really think of shows in that way, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, this is not exactly what you're asking me about. I don't know why this popped to mind. And it's also not entirely stress-free. But I watched the show Unorthodox early on in the pandemic, and it's about an Orthodox Jewish woman who escapes from her community in Brooklyn and goes to Berlin. And just her experience of being in a new environment in a city that I personally have never visited, it sort of felt like I was traveling vicariously through her. So that might be one that is interesting to people. It's a very well done series, and it's only like four episodes.
Awesome. Jill, thanks a lot for that call. We'll go to Anita now in Lindenhurst, Illinois. Anita, hi.
Hi. Usually we really like to go for the new shows like Debris, which is a great sci-fi, and SEAL Team. But now, you know, we are trying to de-stress. And a friend of mine said, did you ever see the old TV series Gilmore Girls, which I had not. So now we are binge-watching it. And I have to say, rewatching the old reruns of the old Murphy Brown show, that is pure delight, uproaring laughter with a brain. So we're loving that. Those are de-stressors for us.
Anita, thanks a lot for that call. I appreciate it. Jen, you mentioned going back and watching Lost again. Any other classics? Anita, like the Gilmore Girls again and Murphy Brown.
Yeah, I mean, well, first of all, Gilmore Girls is a perfect example of comfort television. And the setting of that in that small Connecticut town is just lovely. So that's a great suggestion. I found myself going back and watching Freaks and Geeks, which had been off of streaming for a little while, and then Hulu picked it back up earlier this year. This was a one-season-only high school show with a lot of really talented people that went on to have major careers. And I've watched a lot of the episodes many times, but I really enjoyed going back and watching that again.
Yeah, that's it doesn't last long, but there are a lot of familiar faces who ended up making it big in TV and movies later. That is a fun one to watch. Well, Jen, what are you looking forward to next in terms of new releases, comforting or not, in just our last few moments?
Sure. Well, there's a great HBO limited series that starts a week from Sunday called Mayor of Easttown. And it stars Kate Winslet as a police detective in a small town in Pennsylvania. And she's dealing with missing persons case and then a murder. But she's also dealing with all kinds of family drama. She lives with her mom, who's played by Jean Smart, who is hilarious in this. So it's a real mix of drama and some moments of humor and just a kind of a character study. I wasn't sure if I was going to like it at first because it felt like it's something I had seen before, but I got really drawn into it, and I thought Kate Winslet was terrific in it.
Jen, thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you.
That's Jen Chaney, TV critic for Vultures. She's the author of As If, The Oral History of Clueless, as told by Amy Heckerling and the cast and crew. We talked to her today about why we turn to TV to cope with stress and what genres can help get the job done. You can keep sharing your stress-watching favorites over on the Ideas Network Facebook page. And if you're a Lost fan, whatever you thought of the last episode, search up Jen Chaney's piece, The Oral History of That Last Episode. A lot of interesting perspectives there.